This is the Daily Radio Ministry of Pastor Sandy Adams of Calvary Chapel, Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia. Pastor Sandy is currently teaching through the book of Psalms. And now here's Pastor Sandy as he teaches through the long chapter in Psalms, chapter 119.
God fashions you even in your mother's womb. And if God made me, then it's logical that he knows best how I should function, how I should live my life. This is why his word is the perfect recipe for living. He says, those who fear you will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in your word. I know, O Lord, that your judgments are right and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. Let, I pray, your merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to your word to your servant. Let your tender mercies come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight. Let the proud be ashamed, for they treated me wrongfully with falsehood, but I will meditate on your precepts. Let those who fear you turn to me, those who know your testimonies. Let my heart be blameless regarding your statutes, that I may not be ashamed. Now, the 10th stanza begins with the letter kaf, which is symbolized by the wing, a dove with two wings. The Word of God gives us wings to soar spiritually. It's to soar upward toward God. Verse 81 begins, my soul faints for your salvation, but I hope in your word. This is my wings. The Word of God is what lifts me when I'm down. My eyes fail from searching your word, saying, when will you comfort me? The psalmist's eyes, notice, have grown tired from studying the word. He says, for I have become like a wineskin in smoke, yet I do not forget your statutes. Back in the old days, before the ban on smoking in most restaurants, whenever you walked into the Waffle House, there was always this cloud of cigarette smoke sort of hanging in the air. It's kind of like eating your breakfast in a chimney. And the smoke would always get on my clothes. It would kind of get into my clothes. And Kathy always knew where I'd been. She'd walk by me, take a whiff, and say, been to the Waffle House, huh? Yeah, honey, I have. Well, the psalmist feels the same way about living in the world. The odor of sin has soiled his clothes. He feels like a wineskin in smoke. He's like a flask that has absorbed the smoke of the world around him. Verse 84, how many are the days of your servant? When will you execute judgment on those who persecute me? The proud have dug pits for me, which is not according to your law. All your commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help me. They almost made an end of me on earth, but I did not forsake your precepts. Revive me according to your loving kindness so that I may keep the testimony of your word. You know, how do you get the smoke out of your clothes? You have to work hard at it, don't you? Here he's saying, if you want to get the smoke out of the world, out of your life, study God's precepts. Apply God's testimonies to your life. Think God's thoughts. Get into the word. Well, the next stanza begins with the letter lamed, which is symbolized as an ox goad or as a cattle prodder. You know what a cattle prodder does? This is what you use on your teenagers right here. Not really, but you would like to sometimes. You know, at times the word gives you wings to help you soar. At other times, the word of God is a set of spurs that nudge you and push you along, prod you along. Verse 89, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. What a great verse. Men shoot at the Bible, but their bullets just bounce right off. God's word is settled in heaven. It's unfazed by what men might say, what might happen here on earth. The Bible will last forever. It has been settled in heaven. You know, much has been made of the French skeptic Voltaire, who made the boast, in 50 years, I'll have this book, meaning the Bible, in the morgue. Well, 50 years later, Voltaire was dead, and the Geneva Bible Society was using his house to store their inventory of Bibles. The Bible has overcome its critics. It's overcome its enemies. the word has been settled in heaven. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You established the earth and it abides. They continue this day according to your ordinances, for all are your servants. As sure as the sun rises, God's word will abide. He says, unless your law had been my delight, I would then have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. Man, when you experience the life-giving power of God's word, it's freeing. It's liberating. You'll never abandon the scriptures. You'll never forget it. He says, I am yours. Save me, for I have sought your precepts. The wicked wait for me to destroy me, but I will consider your testimonies. I have seen the consummation of all perfection, but your commandment is exceedingly broad. Notice here, the Bible is a prophetic book. The Bible is a portal into the future. Notice God's word lets us see the consummation of all perfection. In other words, we know how the story is going to end because we can go to the book of Revelation, we can read the last chapter, we can discover how it's all going to be consummated, how all this is going to turn out. We can see into the future because of God's word. And we see that in the end, Jesus Christ is on the throne. Well, the 13th stanza of the psalm begins with the Hebrew letter mem, or water. And of course, according to Ephesians 5, God's word is like the washing of water. Reminds me of the man who complained that when he read the Bible, he could never remember what he'd read. Well, his pastor commented, he said, don't worry. When you pour water through a sieve, it doesn't hold much, but at least you end up with a clean sieve. True of the word. I mean, nothing else washes your soul and your mind and your heart and your outlook like the rushing of God's word upon your life, like water pouring over your life. Whether you remember a whole lot or not, at least you're being cleansed every time you read it. Verse 97, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. But notice this. The guy who knows the Bible has an advantage. He has an advantage over his enemies. He has a source of wisdom that his enemies know nothing about. He's going to have a sharper perspective. He's going to have more wisdom. He's going to have the edge over his enemies. He said, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. He's smarter than his teachers because he knows God's word. It reminds me of Jesus when he was 12 years old and he went to the temple. And there all of the Talmudic scholars, you know, they were amazed at the wisdom of this child. Why? Because he knew the word. I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts. It's amazing. A young man can eclipse the wisdom of the ancients and the elders by availing himself early in his life to the word of God. The best thing you can do for your young men and young ladies is to get them into God's word. The Bible becomes a shortcut to wisdom. He says, I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. Notice sin and scripture are like ends on the magnet. Sin and scripture repel each other. Harbor sin in your heart, and it'll keep you from understanding the Bible. And the Bible will keep you from harboring sin. They repel each other. I like the old adage, the Bible keeps you from sin, and sin will keep you from the Bible. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Here's the cure for sweet tooth. Just get into the word. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Now, the next stanza begins with the Hebrew letter nun, which is depicted by a fish. You know, it's interesting. The fish was a symbol for the early church. It was called the ichthus. The Greek word for fish is an acrostic for the saying, Jesus Christ, God's Son, Savior. And so the fish sort of became a symbol for the church. Notice verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It's a lamp to my feet and it's a light to my path. Think of the Bible as headlights. It's the headlights on your life. You know, driving at night, driving your car at night without headlights, it's not only dangerous for you, but it's also dangerous for others. The person who's not living according to the word, he becomes a lethal threat to the people around him. It's not just that he's subject to danger, he becomes a danger. We need the headlights, not just for us to see, but for people to be able to see and to judge us, where we're headed. He says, I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. Accept, I pray, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your judgments. My life is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have not strayed from your precepts. God's word became his protection. Your testimonies I have taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever to the very end. Now the next letter is the Samech, which is illustrated by a prop or a support. And what a fitting symbol for the scripture. It props up those who trust in its promises. And he begins, I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. The double-minded, who are they? They're the people who have one foot in the word and one foot in the world. You know people like this. They can't make up their mind. They're neither hot nor cold. They're what the Bible calls lukewarm. And you know from other scriptures, God is going to spit them out of his mouth. He says, I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. Depart from me, you evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according to your word that I may live. And do not let me be ashamed of my hope. Hold me up and I shall be safe. And I shall observe your statutes continually. You reject all those who stray from your statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. You put away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore, I love your testimonies. Here the psalmist is referring to the smelting process, smelting a metal. You know, when a metal is purified, it's heated to intense temperatures. And under the heat, the impurities and scum sort of rise to the top where they're then scraped off the surface. This is how God purges us and cleans the scum and the dross from our lives. He puts us in a trial. He turns up the temperature until the impurities begin to rise to the surface. And that's when he just scrapes them off the top and he cleanses us. Here the man of God who strays from God's word is compared to the dross or the scum. He says, this is why the psalmist, he continues here in verse 120. He says, my flesh trembles for fear of you, and I am afraid of your judgments. Boy, the lukewarm gets spit out. The impure gets scraped off. Better to be pure. Better to be on fire for God. We need to fear his judgments. Now, the next letter is the Ayin, which means vision. And I believe in dreams and in visions. Like I said this morning, I believe in miracles. But by far, the best vision from God is his word. And remember, visions and dreams are always subject to God's word. God's spirit is not going to get confused. God's spirit is not going to have said one thing in the word and then say something else in a dream or a vision. You'll always have a congruence. There'll always be a synchronization between any vision or any dream and the word of God. It's the same spirit who authors both. Now, verse 121 says, I have done justice and righteousness, do not leave me to my oppressors. Be surety for your servant for good. Do not let the proud oppress me. My eyes fail from seeking your salvation and your righteous word. Deal with your servant according to your mercy and teach me your statutes. I am your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. It is time for you to act, O Lord, for they have regarded your law as void. Here the psalmist cries out for God to vindicate his word. And this will happen. For some folks, it'll take place at the end of the age. He says, therefore, I love your commandments more than gold, yes, than fine gold. Therefore, all your precepts concerning all things I consider to be right, I hate every false way. The Bible is the authority on whatever subject it addresses, history or psychology or theology or science. He says, all your precepts concerning all things I consider to be right. Now, the next stanza begins with the P, which is depicted as a mouth. The Bible is God's mouthpiece. You know, when you open the Bible, you're hearing straight from God's mouth. It's the means by which God trumpets His truth. He says, your testimonies are wonderful, therefore my soul keeps them. The entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. In one sense, the Bible is a simple book for simple folks. Did you know that classical Greek had a vocabulary of almost 98,000 words? Yet the Greek New Testament utilized less than 6,000. It was written with a very small vocabulary. The English language consists of 400,000 non-technical words. And yet it took just 6,000 words to translate the King James Version of the Bible. The Bible isn't a complicated book. Simple folks can understand the simple words of God. It's been said the Bible is so deep, theologians can never touch bottom, yet so shallow that babies can never drown. It's true. He says, I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for your commandments. Look upon me and be merciful to me, as your custom is toward those who love your name. You know, I got to go back to that. You know, you don't have to have a long degrees after your name. You don't have to have a lot of education to understand the Bible. The Bible is such a simple book. God puts the cookies on the bottom shelf, does He not? He puts them down where anybody can reach them. You just have to have a pure heart, a love for God, an open mind, a compliant spirit. That's what's needed. Notice here, we just read, as your custom is toward those who love your name. Be merciful to me as your custom is. I love that. Did you know God's custom? It's His custom to be merciful. It's just what He's in the habit of doing. Direct my steps by your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over me. Redeem me from the oppression of man, that I may keep your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. Rivers of water run down from my eyes, because men do not keep your law. Have you ever shed a tear over the neglect for the Bible? We should. It's really the source of all of our problems. The next letter is the Sade, which means surrender. A stubborn man is forced to surrender his will when he's conquered by the message of God's word. He says, righteous are you, O Lord, and upright are your judgments. Your testimonies, which you have commanded, are righteous and very faithful. My zeal has consumed me because my enemies have forgotten your words. Your word is very pure, therefore your servant loves it. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is as an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth. Trouble and anguish have overtaken me, yet your commandments are my delights. The righteousness of your testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live. The next stanza begins with the quaff, or the axe head. At times, God's word comes down with the subtlety of an axe. At times it just hammers home the truth to us. He says, I cried out with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord. I will keep your statutes. I cry out to you, save me, and I will keep your testimonies. I rise before the dawning of the morning and cry for help. I hope in your word. My eyes are awake through the night watches that I may meditate on your word. Both day and night, I read God's word. I consult its wisdom. He says, hear my voice according to your loving kindness, O Lord. Revive me according to your justice. They draw near who follow after wickedness. They are far from your law. You are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth. Concerning your testimonies, I have known of old that you have founded them forever. The 20th stanza begins with the letter Resh, which is symbolized by a head. And God's word was head over Israel, as it is also the head or the authority over our lives as well. Verse 153. Consider my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget your law. Plead my cause and redeem me. Revive me according to your word. Notice 9 times in Psalm 119, the psalmist calls on God's word to revive him. The Bible has resuscitating, reviving powers. It can relight a spark. It can ignite a flame that's just about snuffed out. The Bible can set us on fire again for God. He says, salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. Great are your tender mercies, O Lord. Revive me according to your judgments. Many are my persecutors and my enemies, yet I do not turn from your testimonies. I see the treacherous and am disgusted because they do not keep your word. Consider how I love your precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. And pay close attention here to verse 160. He says, the entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. Notice the entirety of your word. Every one of the Bible's 66 books, every one of its 1,189 chapters, every one of its 31,173 verses, every one of its words, every one of its letters, every one of the strokes on the letters are inerrant and infallible and totally trustworthy. The entirety of God's word is truth. The next stanza begins with the letter shin, which is depicted by a tooth. And God's word will dig in. It'll dig into your life. It'll make a difference. Princes persecuted me without a cause, but my heart stands in awe of your word. I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. The psalmist stands before the prince of the royal family, but it's not the prince that strikes awe in his heart. He's overwhelmed with the word. He says, I hate and abhor lying, but I love your law. Boy, you hear lies today from every direction, from the media, from the professors at school, from the political pundits, from the politicians, from all of the so-called experts. It's lies, lies, lies. The only source of truth is the Bible. It's all you can trust in. He loves, and the psalmist here, he loves the law. He hates the lies, but he loves the law. 7 times a day I praise you because of your righteous judgments. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. Lord, I hope for your salvation, and I do your commandments. My soul keeps your testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts and your testimonies, for all my ways are before you. Now, the final stanza, we're going to make it. We're getting down to the end here. We're going to make it. The final stanza of Psalm 119 begins with the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet, the Tah, which is symbolized as a mark. You know, you make your mark. It's been said it's good to mark your Bible, but it's better to let your Bible mark you. Verse 169. Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your word. My lips shall utter praise, for you teach me your statutes. My tongue shall speak of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness. Let your hand become my help, for I have chosen your precepts. Have you chosen God's precepts? Have you chosen the Word of God as the means by which you are going to live your life? Have you made this book your guide, your authority? God's way is best. He says, I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise you, and let your judgments help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. From March the 10th to the 23rd, I'll be leading a tour to Israel, and we would love for any of our listeners to join us. We'll start at the magnificent theater on the Mediterranean where Paul preached to King Agrippa, and we'll end with worship and communion at the Garden Tomb. In between, it's one exciting adventure after another. Imagine relaxing by the Sea of Galilee one day and floating on the Dead Sea the next, exploring waterfalls in the Golan Heights, and admiring the desert from the top of Masada. We'll spend time in the rock city of Petra and in the holy city of Jerusalem. We'll ride camels, wade through Hezekiah's tunnel, boat across the Sea of Galilee, and study God's word at every turn. Hey, a trip to Israel is like a Bible study on steroids. If you've never been, I encourage you to go. And if you like, you can go with us. Our trip is affordably priced. If you'd like more details, please contact us. Here's Josh to give you that information.
Thanks, Pastor Sandy. Yes, to learn more about this exciting trip, visit sandyadams.org. Again, this amazing trip is taking place March 10th through the 23rd, 2019. We encourage you to contact the church office at Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain. You can call us at 770-736-2828 or log on to sandyadams.org. On behalf of Pastor Sandy and the entire production team, it's our prayer that you would seek the Lord about joining Pastor Sandy in Israel in March of 2019.